Hi, this is Sandy Tiemens. I'm the piccolo player and third flutist in the Fort Collins Symphony, and it's certainly an honor to be interviewed today as the newest endowed chair in the orchestra. I have been in that position, this is my 10th year with the orchestra, and it's certainly a pleasure to be here, and I enjoy every concert. I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota. I was actually born in Atlantic City, and we moved to Minnesota when I was about 3 years old or so, and I grew up there all the way through high school, and then went to Lawrence University and got a bachelor's of music and a bachelor's of math there in a 5-year double degree program. And then after that, I went to get a master's degree at the University of North Texas in music performance. Right now, my full-time occupation is with the Air Force Academy Band located in Colorado Springs, and I have been there for about 15 years. I've been in the Air Force for over 18 years now. I started at a band called the Air Force Band of Flight, which is in Dayton, Ohio, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I started piano when I was 5 years old and played piano through junior high, maybe early high school, but I started flute in sixth grade. And liked that so much more than the piano as far as how it was a good fit for me. So I started the flute and quickly lost interest in the piano and pursued flute more rigorously and with a lot more excitement. And so I didn't have professional musicians in my family, but we certainly had a lot of support from my family as far as lessons and instruments and encouragement along the way. Certainly when I was in college, my parents were a little bit nervous about doing a music degree and the prospect of getting a job when I graduated from that, so I was highly encouraged to do a double degree program, which is what I ended up doing. My family was supporting me a lot financially through college, and so it was sort of our compromise on how I would proceed at college, and so I ended up getting a Bachelor's of Arts in math while I was at Lawrence University also. I still play the flute, of course, but while I'm in Fort Collins, my primary instrument is the piccolo. And while I was growing up, I always had an interest in the piccolo, but most people don't start directly on the piccolo. They start on flute, and then once they're a little bit more proficient on the flute, sometimes the band director or the flute teacher or whoever will introduce the piccolo, and it's a good thing to know how to do both because it makes you a lot more marketable and makes you a more versatile musician and able to function in a lot of different ways in an orchestra or any kind of ensemble. The flute and piccolo are both hard and both easy in different ways. The flute is probably easier from a sense of producing a tone and playing in tune, and most people have a lot more experience on the flute, whereas the piccolo has a lot of challenges, partially because it's such a high instrument that anything you do is going to be heard, so you have to do it well. There's no hiding, there's no backing off or trying to get away with anything, because often you are the only person playing in that octave, and so you are going to be heard, and it's a very delicate balance of trying to blend with the orchestra, but also make sure that your sound is heard and in tune. My practice regimen is somewhat irregular, and it's often based on what I have coming up, and so that will often determine which instrument I'm spending more time on, whether it's the flute or the piccolo. My job with the Air Force involves touring, and it also involves rehearsals and various performances, so the practicing often has to fit in around that. My job with the Air Force also has me doing a lot of administrative duties because I am sort of further along in my career, and so now I'm supervising a lot of people and managing the day-to-day operations of the band as far as helping to decide what jobs different people are doing within the unit, because we are a self-supporting organization. We run our own auditions, we have our own band library, we have people scheduling the tours and those kinds of things, and so at this point in my career, I'm often helping to decide who's working on the different projects and who's serving what role for the organization.
Okay.
The band repertoire versus the orchestra repertoire, of course, they're very different. I certainly enjoy both. The band repertoire features a lot of patriotic music, often features a lot of marches, and it's solely wind music, of course. And so the piccolo is used quite a bit, of course, and it's different challenges with that. But in the orchestra, often you're sitting for 100, 200 measures, and you have to pick up your instrument cold and come in very delicately on the very highest note and speak at a piano dynamic. And that can be challenging because you have to get it right immediately. And if your instrument's been sitting there, it's hard to say what the temperature is and what the pitch is going to be by the time you pick up the instrument. So there are ways to fix that by blowing air through the instrument and trying to keep it warm and just making sure you're ready when the time comes. Some of the most famous piccolo solos, of course, are the Stars and Stripes Forever, John Philip Sousa, and the band and orchestra keys are different, so you have to know both and have to be able to memorize those and stand right up and play it when the time comes. But also there are a lot of orchestral solos that are fairly well known. One of the most nerve-wracking probably is Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4. There's a very small snippet which is a piccolo solo asked on every single audition, and obviously again it has to be right even if you've been sitting there forever. One of my favorite things to play is Beethoven's Symphony No. 9, and the piccolo doesn't do anything for the first three movements, so you basically sit for 45 minutes before you do anything at all. But when you do come in, there's a lot of excitement, and it comes in the Turkish march portion of the symphony, and it's very exciting as it leads to the end and the finale of the symphony. I haven't had a lot of embarrassing moments on stage, but I have a tendency to be klutzy or clumsy, and so I've had a few moments like that. One of them was early in my Air Force career. I was coming out to play Stars and Stripes, and we were outside and we were on a tarp. And needless to say, I was in my uniform with my formal shoes on and tripped a little bit on the tarp. But that wasn't too big of a deal. But you know, when you're trying to be militant and demonstrate the prestige of your organization, it's not really the way you want to go. But I also I fell running one time right before a concert and managed to give myself a black eye and still played the concert. The concert was maybe 3 hours after I had gone running. So that was an interesting experience as well, because my face was swelling up and it was hard to see, yet I had to go on stage and do the part. So some things like that. Nothing too serious, but not my finest moments. Fort Collins Symphony is my only regular orchestra job that I actually hold a position within the orchestra, but I've also played with the Greeley Philharmonic, Colorado Chamber Orchestra, Colorado Springs Philharmonic, and I recently played with the Cheyenne Symphony for the first time. So I certainly enjoy orchestral music, and anytime I have the opportunity, I make sure that I make my schedule work to do it. Certainly the Fort Collins Symphony has a special place in my heart because I feel at home here, and I've been coming here for 9 or 10 years now, and I know the other players well, and so I certainly have that built up rapport with them and kind of know how to match them well and know how to fit in with that. And so Fort Collins is certainly at the top of my list, but I'm a little bit biased based on my time with the orchestra. I certainly think the level of the orchestra has gone up, and it is true that there are many more qualified players than there are positions within these orchestras throughout Colorado and certainly throughout the country. I don't think that's uncommon, but certainly flute, in my experience, has been an extremely competitive instrument as far as the number of people who show up for an audition and what their qualifications are. It's pretty amazing to me how many people will fly across the country or spend a lot of money to come audition for a symphony such as this one, which We have several people in the orchestra who live out of state. We have somebody who lives in Montana in our flute section. We have people, I believe, who live in California and Wyoming, Nebraska, who come here because they really believe in playing in the orchestra world, and often at great expense to themselves, but obviously they feel it's worth it. I don't know how many miles I travel every year. I haven't been logging that, but certainly I play usually about 3 or 4 of the masterworks a year. Often there's 1 or 2 concerts that does not have a piccolo part. Sometimes the concert will only have 2 flute players, in which case I'm not on the concert usually, unless one of the other players is unavailable. So with the Air Force, I've actually been to 48 of the states. And the only 2 I haven't been to yet are Hawaii and Alaska. And so I've certainly had that perspective, and I, generally speaking, go on about 4 or 5 tours a year with the Air Force, and that's with the Air Force Academy band, either with the concert band, or I spent several years in the woodwind quintet, Rampart Winds. And so I traveled a lot with them, but I've also had the opportunity to go as a substitute musician to perform with other Air Force bands. There's a band in California that I've played with 3 times now, and there's a band in Illinois and so forth, where sometimes they need an extra musician for whatever reason, and so I'll have the opportunity to go spend some time with a different group of people and see maybe a different part of the country. So in 2009, I had the opportunity to deploy with the Air Force Academy band. We had a group of 8 people who went to the Middle East and spent about 3 months over there performing for troops, but also getting out into the communities, playing for students, playing public concerts. And so I had the opportunity to go to some really unique and interesting countries. We were stationed at Qatar. The name of the Air Force Base was Al Udeid, and they have, it's the home of AFSCENT for the Air Force, and so they have a band there year-round, and different groups from different Air Force bands transition in and out and spend a few months there performing. And from there, that is sort of the hub, but we had the opportunity to go to Turkmenistan. I went through Afghanistan. I performed in Kuwait. I performed in Bahrain, and then also performed in Oman. So it was very interesting. Some of those countries I knew absolutely nothing about before going, and certainly, for me, Turkmenistan was the most interesting. Just the culture there was certainly a Russian influence, but also they have their own individual culture and their own language called Turkmen, which I had never heard of. So I just found everything fascinating there. They had a lot of really excellent performers there. Sometimes we would perform for them and they would in return perform for us, often the students. But they were really high-level musicians, but often had terrible equipment. So it just gives a little perspective on maybe what you can do with less sometimes. So some of our concerts, we actually collaborated with local musicians, and they were playing on their traditional instruments, for instance, an oud, and which is somewhat like a guitar. It looks a little bit like a lute. I can't remember how many strings it has. It has a lot of strings. One of our musicians in our group actually bought an oud while she was there and brought it back and was working on learning how to play that. But I had an experience where I was given a flute, like a traditional flute from Turkmenistan, because we did a collaboration with the defense band in Ashgabat, Turkmenistan. I believe that's where it was. And so I saw this flute player, and we, of course, couldn't communicate with each other very well, but he was working on something on a traditional flute, and I was trying to communicate with him that I enjoyed it or was interested, and he went backstage and came back out and gave me an instrument, which was something that I will always treasure. And so it was an interesting way to see some different parts of the world that maybe I hadn't been open to before, and making some connections. And of course, we were doing that on behalf of the Air Force as ambassadors, so we were often working with embassy personnel and traveling with them. So I felt safe for the most part through most of the deployment. There were a couple moments I questioned what I was doing there, but certainly the Air Force took good care of us, and the embassy personnel made sure we knew what the right behavior in the various cultures were to keep us safe, but also to communicate well with the people in these countries. He gave me a wooden flute. It's very simple and doesn't have any keys on it. It's basically a traverse flute, so it's off to the side as opposed to a recorder style flute. And it just has six holes, I think, on it. So I don't know that it plays terribly well, but it has more sentimental value to me than anything else. For the auditions for the orchestra, different personnel get asked different times, and so I've had the opportunity to sit on a few of the auditions, and today I'm sitting on the percussion audition. And I think part of the reason I was asked, and I don't know this for sure, but part of the reason I think I was asked was because my husband is a percussionist. And so April felt perhaps I would have some opinions on percussion and some knowledge about what it should sound like and who would be the most qualified at this audition. The flute I'm playing on is a Brandon Cooper, and it's a handmade flute, silver, has a tiny little bit of gold in the head joint that adds a certain color that I like, maybe a warmer color. And I have had that flute since 1996, and I bought it while I was in grad school, and it was a very hefty investment at the time. At the time it was about $9,000. Now I think it's worth about $14,000 if I were to try and replace it, which I have no intention of doing anytime soon, because I think it's a great flute, and as long as I'm maintaining it well and taking good care of it, it will last me a long time. So I've had that since then, but as far as the piccolo, I always thought of myself as more of a flute player, and so I was always investing more time and money on the flute throughout the years. And so when I won the job with Fort Collins Symphony, I purchased a new piccolo, which is a Powell, which is of course a great brand, and that wasn't quite what I wanted at the time, but the piccolo that I really want, which is called a Keith, there was a 3-year waiting list to get a Keith piccolo, so I put myself on the waiting list, but eventually took myself off, decided it wasn't the right time, and then a few years ago I actually put myself back on the waiting list, much to my husband's chagrin, and so this past March, in March 2015, I actually just got a new piccolo, this Keith piccolo that I've been wanting for probably about 9 years. So I'm very happy with that. Anytime you get a new instrument, you have to adjust to it, and you have to learn its tendencies, because no instrument is perfect. They all have little things where maybe they're a little sharper on this note, a little flatter on this note, or maybe the sound of this note has a certain color and you have to kind of counteract that. So I still feel a little bit like I'm getting used to this instrument, but I can tell it's good, and I'm committed to pushing through that and playing it all the time and really feeling comfortable on it.